We're coming to the book of Zechariah, please, and I just want you to notice a little phrase that we find in this book, and you'll see it quite a number of times. So let's look at Zechariah once you find it. Go to Matthew if you're struggling and go back a couple of books and you'll get it all right. Zechariah chapter 12. The book of Zechariah chapter 12. Remember, this is written now 520 BC or so, so it's quite an old writing we're writing. It's a prophecy. And many of the things that we're going to read tonight haven't yet happened. They're still in the future. But of course they're going to happen just as God's word says they will. If you take a wee glance at verse 3 first of all. I'm not going to read verse 3, but I want you to see the little phrase. Verse 3, and in that day. Take a wee look at verse 4. In that day. Look at verse 6. In that day. Look at verse 8. In that day. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out what Zechariah is telling us. He's telling us about that day. It's a particular day somewhere out there in the future and certain things are going to happen. It's a prophetic day. And the question I want to ask the meeting tonight is, where will you be on that day? We're not talking about this day or today. We're talking about that day. Now let's read about it here, please. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 9, first of all. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And he shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Just drop down then to verse 1 of chapter 13, please. Chapter 13 and verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, Zechariah is just pointing us to that day. Look at verse 4. And it shall come to pass in that day. And look at verse 6 then. And one shall say unto him. Now that day is the day, we're going to see it later on, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come to planet Earth. He's going to come. He's going to come to save the nation of Israel. And one, I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody. Somebody's going to say to the Lord, look at verse 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer those with which I was wounded, in the house of my friends. Look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried. They shall call in my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoils shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day. I want you to see it again, that day. The same day Zechariah is telling us about is a future day. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley. And the half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And then look at verse 9 just as we finish off our Bible reading. And the Lord shall be keen over all the earth. And in that day, there shall be one Lord, and his name one. We'll end there. We trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. I want you again to keep your Bible open. We're going to just go through the Bible tonight to see what the word of the Lord says. It doesn't really matter what I say or what you say or what we think. What the Lord says is the most important thing of all. Now, 16 times in the book of Zechariah, in those final three chapters, you read that little phrase, in that day. It's a prophetic day. It's a day somewhere out in the future when the Lord Jesus Christ will come in power and in great glory. He's coming to save the nation of Israel. Now, when you read through the Bible, sometimes you read about 2 days. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And you know, dear friend, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, today I would plead with you to hear his voice and don't be hardening your heart. Because we're living in a day when people have closed their ears to the voice of God, and people don't really care what God says anymore. And people have hardened their hearts against the Lord of all grace and all glory. And people are heading head first on the road to hell. The Bible says today, if ye shall hear his voice, harden not your heart. Sometimes the Bible talks about today. Sometimes the Bible talks about this day. You remember when the Lord Jesus was on the streets of Jericho, and he had come into Jericho, and he's really on his way to Calvary. In fact, when he's in Jericho, he's just 6 days, and he's 18.2 miles from Calvary. So he's not too far away from the cross. But as he goes through Jericho, remember there's a little man there called Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus has run on before, and he's climbed up the sycamore tree. And the Lord Jesus comes to where he is. And the Lord Jesus says to him in verse 5, he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. So he tells him about today. And down in verse 8 in that chapter, it says, this day is salvation come to thy house. And you know, friends, today, if you would just hear his voice, and if you would just soften your heart and open up your heart, you'll discover that this day, salvation will come to your house. Because somebody quoted it in the prayer meeting early on from John chapter 6, 37, and 37 says that he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And this wee man has come down the tree, and he's come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, this day has salvation come to thy house. So the Bible talks about today. The Bible talks about this day. The Bible talks about a day. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Bible says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because, listen to this here, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. The fact that the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead proves to us that there's a day of judgment. Of course, that's the great white throne. That's Revelation chapter 20. You remember in verse 11, it says, and I saw a great white throne, and he that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things written in the books according to their works. Now, if you read the verse carefully, you'll discover that there's a number of books being opened. There's at least 3 books there. The first one, I believe, is the Word of God. The second one is the book of works that sinners have done. And the third one is the book of life. We're not there tonight, but you just think about those books. You see, friend, there's going to be a day. A day when you, if you're not saved, will stand before the great white throne. And the only way from the great white throne is into hell. Revelation 20, verse 15. I know this verse so well, because this verse is the verse that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ over 33 years ago. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, what a terrible day that's going to be. So the Bible tells us about today. The Bible tells us about this day. The Bible tells us about our day. I want you to come here to Zechariah, and you can read about that day. That day. Zechariah tells us 16 times about that day. That day that's coming upon planet Earth. Now, friends, I want you to think about this. For us to get from this day of grace, we're living in the day of grace, of course, and you can get saved tonight. It says in the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. What a wonderful wonder. Our sister was singing about God's amazing grace. There's nothing like it. And friend, we're living in the day of grace. This day is a day of grace, and you can get saved for nothing. And you can get saved forever tonight. That's this day. But Zechariah tells us about that day. And when we come to that day, friend, if you're not saved, that day will be a day of impossibility. You'll never be saved. No matter what you do, you could pray for 24 hours. You could fast for 3 days and pray for 3 days. You could give away everything you could have. You could walk bare feet up and down the road, but you'll never ever be saved. Because that day, this day is a day of opportunity. That day is a day of impossibility for those who have heard the gospel before. Now, before this world goes from this day to that day, a number of things has to happen. There's a number of events that have to happen before you can get from this day of grace, to that day of wrath. I want you to come in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Thessalonians, please. The 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this is a very well-known chapter. I'm sure if you've ever been at a funeral, if you ever stood at a graveside, nearly 9 times out of 10, the pastor, if he's any use at all, he'll be at least reading this or quoting this or telling people that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. Now, come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, the first thing that's going to happen, before this day comes that day, there has to be the removal of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, when I talk about the Church of Jesus Christ, of course, I'm not talking about the Baptists, or I'm not talking about the Brethren, or I'm not talking about the Church of Ireland or the Presbyterian or anybody else. I'm talking about every true born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You could be in church tonight and on your way to hell. So being in church is no good. Being in Christ is what you need to be. And when I talk about the church, I'm talking about every single born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He's going to tell them something that they know absolutely nothing about. He says, "You're ignorant about this. You don't know anything about this truth." And then he goes on, if you look at verse 16, he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." That's the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And he'll come to remove the church. Now let's look at these verses just for a wee minute. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven." I want you to see that it's very personal. You remember in Acts chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ was on the Mount of Olives and he's with his disciples and he's going to go back to heaven. And the angel said in Acts chapter 1 verse 11, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." You know, it's the same Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming himself to get those of us who are saved. You can see that it's personal. I want you to look at it again. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." You can see that it's promised. As far as I know, and I would bet my last pound on this, the Lord Jesus has never, ever, ever broken a promise. There's not a promise in this word that will not be fulfilled. And you can see that it's personal, and you can see that it's promised. And then look what it says again, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel." Have you ever wondered why that's in there? There's only one archangel, by the way, his name is Michael. Sometimes we sing about the archangels, but it's not right. There's one archangel, his name is Michael, and he's got to do with Israel. Michael is connected with the protection of Israel. Have you ever wondered why that's in there, the voice of the archangel? I want you to notice that it's personal. I want you to notice that it's promised, but I want you to notice that it's pivotal. Because once the Church of Jesus Christ is taken out, God will start to work with the nation of Israel again. We're going to see that later on. And that's why you have the voice of the archangel in there. The voice of the archangel is to tell the world that Israel is about to be worked on again by God. You can see that it's personal. You can see that it's promised. You can see that it's pivotal. Look what it says now. "And the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I want to tell you that it's powerful. I remember the last funeral I was doing and I was quoting these verses at the graveside and I was thinking to myself and I was actually saying to the folks around the grave, what would it be like if the Lord Jesus comes just now. It's possible, you know, no matter what grave we stand at or no matter where we are, it's always possible because there's nothing has to happen before the Lord Jesus comes to the air. It's a signless event. All the signs that we see in the world have got to do with the final coming of the Lord Jesus. This is a signless event. This is imminent. This is the Lord Jesus coming in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. What would it be like standing around the grave? And the old fella, well, I'll just say this, the old fella going down in the coffin and next thing up like a shot. And the dead in Christ will rise first. You see, the person in the coffin will get out first. This is going to be powerful. But I want you to see the next wee bit in verse 17. It says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Those are the most precious words to me. I have buried loved ones and I miss them. I'm sure you have buried loved ones and you miss them, I know for a fact. But friends, listen, the word of God says that we will be caught up together with them. There's going to be a lovely reunion when the Lord Jesus comes again. Every single person who's redeemed is going to be caught up to meet the Lord. We're going to be together with them. And then it says in verse 18 there, and so shall we ever be, or sorry, verse 17, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You'll notice that is permanent. And you see, before the world goes from this day to that day, there has to be the removal of the church. I wonder, friend, are you ready tonight? If the Lord Jesus Christ was to come now, I know there's not much preaching in this anymore. People say it's controversial, but it can't be controversial because the Lord Jesus talks about it 318 times in the gospel. 500 verses in the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ is coming again, so it can't be controversial. This is the truth of God's precious word, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I wonder, are you ready for his coming? If the Lord Jesus came now, would you be caught up to meet the Lord in the air? I was thinking about it the other Sunday in church. I was looking down and our place is full of bald heads and glasses and false teeth and wigs and everything else. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, all the car keys and all the money and all the glasses and all the false teeth and all the other bits and pieces that we need, all the crutches, the whole thing will be left lying in a pile because we'll not need them again. The Lord Jesus is coming. And the first thing that's going to happen before this day becomes that day, there's going to be the removal of the church of Jesus Christ. Come on over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because something else is going to happen as well. I want you to look at verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. Because not only is there going to be the removal of the church, but there's going to be the removal of the Holy Spirit. You see, when I got saved back on the 20th of March, 1986, the Bible tells me there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, "And whom also that ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You see, when you got saved, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell us and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. In fact, it says in Ephesians 4, verse 30, "And grieve not the Spirit wherewith ye are sealed until the day of redemption." So those of us who are saved tonight, we have the Holy Spirit within. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Now, we have no bother agreeing with that. You just look into the world and you see all the iniquity that's going on, things that are abominable, things that are diabolical, things that are happening. And I'm not that old. I suppose I look older than I am, but there's things happening now that I never, ever, ever thought would happen in Northern Ireland. Never thought it. And some of the older brothers and sisters could say, well, we have seen things that we never thought we'd see in our lifetime. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, look what it says. Only he... Now, I want you to see there's a person there. Only he who now letteth. Now, that word letteth is an old English word, and it means to stand in the way. If you've ever played squash, and that's a term, I don't know if they use it in squash now, but when I was a joiner, me and my brother used to go on a Thursday night, and we used to play squash. And you see, the crack is, when you're playing squash, if you're on the boy's road, he shouts, "Let," and you sort of get off with it. But my brother doesn't know anything about that. He just slaps you with the bat and with the ball. And he didn't know how to work that. But that's what the word "let" means. It means that something's in the way. It's holding back. Now look at it again. It says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. You see, the blessed Holy Spirit, when you and I are taken home to heaven in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the blessed Holy Spirit is going to be taken out too. Now, that has to happen before this day becomes that day. Now, you and I think it's bad today. We're looking out in the world and we see murders and we see things going on and we think it's bad. But dear friends, if the Holy Spirit wasn't here, it would be 1 million times worse. You think about Genesis chapter 6. You remember in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And if you read down to the next verse, and the verse after that, verse 5, it says, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man upon the earth. You see, when the Holy Spirit stops striving, the thing gets so bad that every single thought of every single person, every single moment, was only evil continually. Now, that's not happening in the world tonight. That's not happening in the world tonight because the blessed Holy Spirit is holding back the evil. Now, before this day becomes that day, there's going to be the removal of the church. I wonder, are you ready? There's going to be the removal of the Holy Spirit. Now, my dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, the ministry of the Holy Spirit at this particular moment in time is to confront you with your sin, to bring conviction of sin upon you. And if there's no conviction of sin upon you, you'll never get saved. If you never realize that you're a guilty, ill-deserving, hell-deserving sinner on your way to hell, you'll never get saved. But friends, when the Holy Spirit is taken out, there'll be no conviction of sin upon people who've heard the gospel before. You need to get saved before the Spirit is removed. Before the Spirit stops thriving, you need to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the removal of the church, and then you can see the removal of the Holy Spirit. Then look at verse 8. I want you to see the third thing that's going to happen before this day becomes that day. The removal of the church, they're easily remembered. The removal of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8. And then. The word then in the Bible is a very, very particular word. It shows us a particular moment when something happens. It says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked. You'll notice in your Bible that the wicked is a capital W. It's a person's name. It's a title for the Antichrist, in fact. And it says, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who's after the coming of Satan, and so on. This is the revelation of the Antichrist. You can see what's going to happen. The church is going to be removed. The Holy Spirit's going to be removed. And then the Antichrist is going to be revealed. The Antichrist can't be here. I know people believe the Antichrist is here. He's living up in Italy somewhere. But he can't be. It's impossible because the Antichrist and the Holy Spirit will not be on earth at the same time. Church removed, Holy Spirit removed, Antichrist revealed. This is what the Bible says. Then shall that wicked be revealed. Now, when that happens, when you're coming from this day to that day, dear unsaved friend, I want you to look at the next few verses. Look at verse 10. I want you to see the situation you'll be in if you're not saved. When that day arrives, it will be impossible for you to get saved. Tonight, today, you can get saved. This day, you can get saved. But that day, listen to what the Bible says about that day. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I want you to see their decision. Dear unsaved friend, you have made a decision. And this is why you're not saved. Look what it says. Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. If I was trying to prove to somebody that Jesus Christ on the cross made provision for every single human being that ever lived on planet Earth to be saved, this is one of the places I'd be coming. Because here's people and they're on their way to hell. Here's people who are damned for all eternity, and I want you to see that they could have been saved. The Lord Jesus Christ had reached, look what it says, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now, is that telling me they could have been saved if they had received the love of the truth? Yes, it is. I want you to see their decision, they received not. They says we're not having it. They wouldn't allow the Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. Look at the next verse. And for this cause. Why? Because they haven't received the love of the truth, for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. I want you to see their delusion. Some people say, well, that's not fair. Imagine God doing that. Could you imagine the God of heaven sending the wee creature strong delusions that they will believe? See that a lie? That's a definite article there. That means that it's the Antichrist. It's the lie. It's the one who is just filled with lies, the Antichrist. And you see, God is going to send a delusion to people who are left behind, people who didn't receive the love of the truth, and they're going to believe a lie. They're going to believe that the Antichrist is the Savior. Imagine being so stupid. A man who's filled with sin after the workings of Satan. And people who have sat in gospel meetings and they've heard about the lovely Lord Jesus and they've heard about Calvary and they've heard about the precious blood and they haven't received it, they're going to believe a lie. And God's going to make them believe a lie. You can see their delusion. And people say it's not fair, but friend, listen first. The Lord Jesus came. God sent his only begotten Son. God has sent you a deliverer. God has sent you a savior. God has sent you a redeemer. And you said, no, I'm not going to have this man to reign over me. So God's going to send you a delusion. And you're going to believe a lie. You can see their decision. They receive not the love of the truth. You can see their delusion. Look at verse 12. That they all might be damned. You notice the word all there. This is not some of them. It's not the half of them or a quarter of them. This is them all. My friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, and you find yourself in that day, I'm telling you from God's word that you'll not be saved. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much you cry, no matter how much you pray, no matter what you do, you'll not get saved. Because your day of grace will be over. Today is your day of grace. This day you can get saved, that day you can't get saved. Look what it says, that they all might be damned. And then look what it says, who believe not the truth. That's their denial. You can see two things about them, can't you? You can see that they receive not, and you can see that they believe not. Those are the two things you need to do if you're going to get saved. Friend, you need to receive the Lord Jesus, and you need to believe that Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary is sufficient to meet your need as a sinner. And you can see their denial. They wouldn't believe it. And then I want you to see their delight. This is why they didn't receive. This is why they didn't believe. Look what it says. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure and unrighteousness. They didn't get saved because they loved their sin too much. I don't know what it might be. My friend, I don't know what's keeping you back from trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I don't know what it is. Haven't a clue. But I'll tell you this. You'll hate it that day. The thing that kept you from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll absolutely loathe it for all the countless ages of eternity and eternal hell. You'll loathe the thing that kept you from the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see their delight. They had a pleasure in sin and they wouldn't turn from it and they wouldn't trust the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Now when that happens, when there's the removal of the church and when there's the removal of the Holy Spirit and when there's the revelation of the Antichrist. You're coming into that day. I want you to come to Revelation chapter 6, please. Revelation chapter 6. I want you to see the kind of day it's going to be. You see, you think it's bad today. And I would say even the unsaved people in Northern Ireland think it's terrible. Times are terrible. They're going to murder the wee babies and they're going to do this and that and the other thing. And it's just totally unbelievable and you think it's bad now. I want you to come to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, please. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8. Now, this is marching on towards that day. We're moving out from this day of grace, and we're heading towards that day of wrath. You notice what it says in verse 8. It says, I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was Death, and Hell followed with him. You notice this deadly duo, it's death and hell. It's not death and heaven. It's death and hell. This is that day. It's not this day, you see, because it could be death in heaven today, but that day is death and hell. And look what it says. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now, the world population tonight is 8 billion, near enough. I'm going to be generous here. Let's say if the Lord Jesus came tonight, 2 billion If you take all the believers, I don't think there is 2 billion, but just for handy counting, let's say there's 1 billion believers. Let's say there's 1 billion wee children who will be taken home to heaven. The Lord's not going to leave the wee children behind. So that leaves 6 billion. When you come to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, a quarter of them, that's 1 million, 1.5 billion people all dead within the space of 3.5 years. This is going to be death. It's going to be a time of darkness, a time of death, a time of destruction. When you glance down to verse 17 there, well, verse 15 says that the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the bondmen and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and cried unto the rocks and mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Look at verse 17. It says, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, the people living on earth at that time who have been left, there's 1.5 billion has died. The rest of them are saying, oh, the great day of his wrath has come, but it hasn't, you know. That's only the very start of it. They don't know. People talk today about global warming and climate change and rising sea levels and all the rest of it. And they're out protesting. I want to tell you that they don't know the half of it. If they were to read the book of Revelation, they would discover that half or a third of all the trees in the world is going to be burned up. And a third of all the green grass is going to be burned up. And a third of the oceans are going to be turned to blood. And the rivers are going to be polluted. And listen, the Extinction Rebellion fellas don't know the half of it, what's going to happen. This is why, friend, you need to get saved. Come over to Revelation chapter 9. The time is gone, so we'll just finish here shortly. Revelation chapter 9. I want you to look at verse 18. Remember now in Revelation 6 and verse 8, there's a quarter of the world's population have died. 1.5 billion people are dead within the space of 3.5 years. Come to verse 18 of chapter 9. It says, by these, now that's referring to the kings of the east, on up the chapter a bit. Asian armies. By these three was the third part of men killed by fire, by smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. I want you to see now the third. Remember, a quarter is already dead. So when you take a quarter away, you've got 3/4 left. And you take a third of that, that's another quarter, isn't it? So that's half of the world's population. By the time you get here, 3 billion people have died. 3 billion souls have dropped down into the pit of hell for all eternity because death and hell followed. Now look at verse 20. And the rest of men. That's the half that's left. That's the 3 billion that's left. I want you to see what they're doing. It says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. I want you to see now, if you can remember back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you'll notice that they received not the love of truth. You'll notice that they believed not. And now you can see that they repented not. And my dear unsaved friend, that's the very 3 things that you have done. You haven't received it, you haven't believed it, and you haven't repented of your sin. And you're going to sit this day, and you're going to sit maybe 2 days, and you're going to wait till that day. And when that day comes, it's going to be too late for you. My friend, this is the day of grace. Why would you wait? Why would you wait until every believer is taken home? Why would you wait till the Holy Spirit who brings conviction is taken out? Why would you wait till the Antichrist comes? Why would you not come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm sorry I didn't get preaching what I wanted to preach, but that'll do us for tonight. And we trust the Lord will bless his word to our hearts.